From Kilskerry, County Tyrone, we present Let the Bible Speak. Here to let the Bible speak for the next 15 minutes is Gospel Minister and Evangelist, the Reverend Ivan Foster.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to our program. We're glad you have joined with us as we once again open the Word of God. We continue with our study of the fifth saying of Christ on the cross. It's found in John chapter 19 and the verse 28, and it is, of course, the cry of thirst. This month, we are offering a new book to our listeners. It's called The Things Which Shall Be Hereafter. It's written by a pastor, Septimus Sears, and was first published in 1867. Now, the book is free. It lists the main prophecies of the Bible in the order in which they will take place. It is an invaluable book for those anxious to study this vital portion of God's Holy Scripture. We will, of course, continue to offer our own book, Shadow of the Antichrist, a commentary on the book of Revelation. It has proved very popular, and I'd like to thank all those who have sent in for it. I think we have sent out about 40 copies of the book. We still have a few left, and so we want to continue the offer. It, of course, is also free. I'll be reading an extract from it in a moment. The extract is from the comments I make on Revelation chapters 8 and 9. Here's that extract now. The devastations on the earth. 1. Creation is at first the chief subject of judgment. And the seven angels, which had the seven trumpets, prepared themselves to sound. The first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood. And they were cast upon the earth, and the third part of trees was burnt up, and all green grass was burnt up. Chapter 8, verses 6 and 7. In the judgments we may observe the gradual procedure of God. The inanimate creation is the first to feel his wrath, and natural forces are employed by the Lord. A similar commencement to the judgments in Egypt may be observed. There the first judgments fell chiefly upon the creatures of the field, and then increasingly affected men. There all the judgments involved only natural phenomena. And the second angel sounded, and as it were a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea, and the third part of the sea became blood, and the third part of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died, and the third part of the ships were destroyed. Verses 8 and 9. The second trumpet brings a judgment that results in a third of the creatures in the sea and a third of the ships and their crews and passengers being destroyed. And the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp, and it fell upon the third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of waters. And the name of the star is called Wormwood. And the third part of the waters became wormwood, and many men died of the waters, because they were made bitter. Verses 10 and 11. The third judgment brings a poisoning of a third of the waters, and many men die as a result. And the fourth angel sounded, and the third part of the sun was smitten, and the third part of the moon, and the third part of the stars. So as the third part of them was darkened, and the day shone not for the third part of it, and the night likewise. Verse 12. The fourth judgment, with its darkening of the sun,
will likewise bring great discomfort to men. 2. A woeful pronouncement. And I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth, by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels which are yet to sound. Verse 13. If men only realized what their sin will bring upon their heads, they would understand why even the angels utter a groan at the prospects faced by sinners. This verse makes clear that the three woes are synonymous with the last three trumpets.
Returning now to the chapter 19 of John's Gospel, and we'll begin our reading at the verse 28. Remember, tonight we're continuing our study of the fifth saying of the Saviour on the cross, when he cries out in thirst. Read from verse 28 with me then, please. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the Scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar, and put it upon hyssop, and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, It is finished. And he bowed his head, and gave up the ghost. Last week we considered how that the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, according to these verses, was predetermined. When he cried out on the cross, I thirst, he was fulfilling prophecy. And indeed, it was the conclusion of a fulfilling of the many prophecies that were linked to his birth, his life, and his death. Notice how it says, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the Scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. We considered last week then how that there had been set forth in the Old Testament a very clear prediction of the Saviour, his work, his death, how he would accomplish the redemption of sinners. This was done, of course, in order that we might know the true Messiah when he would come. He would fulfill all the predictions. And it's a great comfort to us now when we open our Bibles and from the book of Genesis through to the birth of Christ, we can see how the Lord Jesus Christ fulfilled every last one of them. But I want to consider another thought this evening, based upon what we read in these verses. And I want us to consider the cruelty of man. When he thirsted, they didn't give him water, but men offered him vinegar to drink. A bitter drink. Not one really meant to quench thirst, but if anything, to add to the agonies of the Saviour upon the cross. How cruel man is. I must tell you that this vinegar drink is not to be confused with the drink that had been offered by the Roman soldiers earlier in the process of crucifixion. In Matthew's Gospel and the chapter 27, and in the verse 33 we read, And when they were come unto a place called Golgotha, that is to say, a place of a skull, they gave him vinegar to drink, mingled with gall. And when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. So, just before the crucifixion, the Saviour had been offered a drink of vinegar which had gall in it, and he refused to drink it. But here we find him drinking the vinegar. What was the difference? Well, the Romans often offered to those about to be crucified a drink which would greatly dull the pain that they were about to endure, vinegar mingled with gall. It was a potent painkiller. But the Saviour refused that drink. Why? Because he was there to bear the agonies of the sins of his people. And he would not therefore take anything that would dull that suffering. But here he is offered vinegar to drink, and that he takes. And that is because everything by way of shame and scoffing that was heaped upon him, he did not refuse, but submitted himself to it all. So he drank the vinegar, the bitter drink offered to him by those gathered around his cross to sneer, to mock, to despise, and to rejoice in his sufferings. Is this not what men still do to the Saviour? The Lord Jesus Christ has today a thirst to see sinners redeemed and walking in fellowship with him. In Revelation chapter 3, the verse 20, and these are familiar words to many, we read, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me." The relationship between the converted sinner and the Lord Jesus Christ is that of two friends sitting down and enjoying their company at a meal. But what do men do when they hear the gospel, when they hear the Saviour knocking and calling upon them to repent? They offer him the vinegar of rejection. They offer to him their back, the bitter vinegar of despising, rather than the hand of submission and friendship. He who had no room provided for him in the inn, and was led as an infant in the manger of a cowshed on the cross, is refused a drink, but rather instead given the bitter vinegar. I wonder what your attitude to Christ today is. I wonder when you hear the gospel and the heart cry of Christ to you to repent, do you turn in obedience and grant to Christ that which he requests? Or instead do you offer the bitter cup of rejection and turn your back yet again upon him? Hear the cry of Christ, "I thirst." He thirsts for your repentance. He thirsts for your love. He thirsts for your obedience. May you offer the cup of surrender and yield up your heart and life to him. Do tune in again next week as we once again gather around the Word of God. God bless you.
Thank you for listening. If we can be of any further spiritual help to you, or if you would like us to send you some free gospel literature, we invite you to write to us. Additionally, Mr. Foster would welcome your comments or questions on the messages here on Let the Bible Speak. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, the Reverend Ivan Foster, Old Junction Road, Kilskerry, County Tyrone, BT78 3RN. That is, Let the Bible Speak, the Reverend Ivan Foster, Old Junction Road, Kilskerry, County Tyrone, BT78 3RN. You may hear Mr. Foster preach each Lord's Day here in Kilskerry at 11:30 a.m. and 7:30 p.m. For further information, you may phone us at 028-8956-1564. That is 028-8956-1564. We assure you of a warm welcome at all the services here, and look forward to having you come and visit with us. Once again, thank you for listening. May the Lord bless his word to your heart and enable you to tune in again as we let the Bible speak.